Chapter 69. Fretwell and Pritchard shook their heads as Bailey walked in with Ellie. Bailey held up the phone. She was about to send a text. Alan was right. She was the rotten apple. Ellie collapsed onto a chair, buried her face in her hands, and began to sob. Major Gannon walked into the office and glared scornfully at the crying woman.
Your little ruse worked perfectly, Alan, said Pritchard. Now that we have Javier's phone number, we'll get a location for him within the hour. Once we know where he is, I intend to send in a CTSFO team.
Counter-terrorist specialist firearms officers had been brought into play in the lead-up to the 2012 London Olympics. They were better trained than the average firearms officers, including stints with the SAS at their base in Hereford. There were 15 constables and one sergeant in each CTSFO team, and when it came to hostage rescue and terrorist takedowns, they were pretty much the equal of the SAS.
Sounds like a plan, said Gannon.
If you want to be there when it happens, that would be okay with me, said Pritchard.
He held out his hand for the phone, and Bailey gave it to him. The major nodded, then gestured at Ellie.
What about her?
She'll be questioned, obviously.
And then what?
That will depend on the police and the CPS, said Pritchard.
I hope they throw away the key, said Gannon.
Ellie looked up.
I'm so sorry, she said. But they said they'd kill my parents if I didn't help.
The major threw her a withering look.
Four of my men died today, along with 10 of your colleagues, so don't be expecting anyone to shed tears over what happens to you.
Pritchard held up a hand to silence him.
Ellie, what happened?
Who said they'd kill your parents?
She swallowed and coughed, then patted her chest. Pritchard picked up a bottle of Evian water off his desk and gave it to her. She unscrewed the top and drank greedily.
I met a guy a few months ago in a bar after work. He said he was from Argentina. He was...
She shrugged.
He swept me off my feet. Presents, dinners. He said he worked for an oil company and he had an expense account, so we ate at some amazing restaurants. Michelin stars, Gordon Ramsay and Heston Blumenthal and everything.
What was his name?
Santino. Santino Rossi.
Pritchard held up the phone.
His number is in here?
Ellie nodded.
Under Santa.
She forced a smile.
My secret Santa, I used to call him.
Why? Why secret?
Because I never met his friends and he didn't seem interested in meeting mine. I used to think he might be married, but he swore he wasn't. And he met my parents and my sister.
And when did he start asking about your work?
From the first time we met. He knew I worked in Thames House and he guessed I was with MI5. I didn't admit it at the time, but it seemed stupid to keep denying it.
Did you give his name to the vetting department?
She shook her head.
No, I'm sorry.
So you meet a stranger who knows you work for MI5, who asks you about your work, and you don't think that that might be a problem?
I wasn't sure how the relationship would go.
Were you sleeping with him? Said Pritchard.
She nodded.
Well, that answers your question, said Pritchard.
I didn't tell him anything. Not until...
She grimaced and looked away.
Until when?
2 days ago. I was in his flat and a friend of his turned up, Javier. He said he was from Argentina too. We drank some wine, and then he took out some photographs of my mother and father and my sister, and pictures of where they lived. Javier said that they needed my help, and that if I didn't help them, then something bad would happen to my parents and my sister.
Tears welled up in her eyes.
I'm sorry.
This isn't about being sorry, snapped the major. Just tell us what happened.
Pritchard flashed the major a warning look. Bailey took a pack of tissues from her pocket and gave one to the secretary, who used it to dab her eyes.
I said I couldn't possibly help them, and anyway, I was only a secretary. I don't have access to secrets, and Javier slapped me. Hard.
She rubbed her cheek as she recalled the pain.
He had a gun, and he pointed it at me. He said he wasn't going to shoot me, but that if I didn't help, he would shoot my mother and my father and my sister. but not before his friends had raped my mother and castrated my father.
She dabbed at her eyes again.
I've never been so afraid. He meant it, Mr. Pritchard. There wasn't a shadow of a doubt that he meant it.
And what did Javier want you to do?
He said that a friend of his had been captured by MI5 and that he was in a safe house. He wanted to know where the safe house was. I didn't know, obviously, and I said so.
She blew her nose, and Bailey handed her another tissue.
They asked me about the safe houses and how they worked and who took care of them.
She stopped talking and stared at the floor.
So, you told them about the footies and about the Wimbledon house?
Ellie nodded and then began to sob.
7 people died, said the Major.
They didn't say they were going to kill anyone, she said. I told them that the information about the safe houses was in the footy house. I assumed they'd break in at night and steal the files. I didn't think for 1 minute.
She began to sob again.
And you were sending Javier a text now, telling him that we knew where he was?
She nodded.
But I didn't send it. I was still writing it when...
She looked at Bailey and left the sentence hanging.
And it was you who put in the request to track Sally Page's phone?
Ellie nodded tearfully.
Javier called me yesterday morning. He said he had a man outside my parents' house, and that if he didn't do what he wanted, they'd be tortured and killed, and he'd send me a video of it.
She looked at him pleadingly.
He meant it. I know he did.
Pritchard gave the phone to Fretwell.
Get GCHQ on this as a matter of urgency. Any problems, let me know immediately. We need a location for Javier's phone and for Santino.
He looked at the Major.
As soon as I get Javier's address, I'll call you.
The Major nodded, threw a last scornful look at Ellie, and left the room. Pritchard pulled up a chair and sat down next to his secretary. She turned her head away and continued to sob.
Ellie, when Ian Hadley told me that he was going out to the safe house in Hampstead, you told Javier, didn't you?
She nodded.
I am so, so sorry, she said. I'll do whatever I can do to make this right. I'll give evidence against them. I'll tell you everything that happened. But I was under duress. You understand that, right? I didn't have a choice.
Pritchard shifted uncomfortably.
Actually, you did have a choice, Ellie. You could have come to me straight away and explained what had happened. We could have protected you and your family.
She shook her head vehemently.
They said there was nothing you could do to stop them.
You should have come to me, Ellie. A lot of people have died today because of what you did.
Ellie began to sob uncontrollably. He stood up and patted her on the shoulder. He flashed Bailey a tight smile.
We'll keep her here until this is over, he said.
Then we can pass her on to the police and the CPS can decide what to do from then on.
I'll cooperate,
said Ellie, looking up at them hopefully.
That has to count for something, doesn't it?
I'm sure it will, said Pritchard,
though in his heart he knew that she was facing some very serious prison time.
She could argue duress all she wanted to, but at the end of the day, her decisions had cost the lives of 10 MI5 officers and 4 SAS troopers.